Foundation does in helping young kids get, you know, a helping hand with reading?
You know, it's an extremely important program that me, Judy Ann, the board members on, along with the charity, we definitely sat down and had numerous meetings about the importance of reading and developing early literacy. It's extremely important. It's actually very advantageous for a kid to be able to read at such a young age. There's a direct correlation with early childhood reading proficiency, and it's directly tied in with high school graduation. And I've been privileged and fortunate enough to be teamed up with Mahi United Way and their reading course program to help eliminate child illiteracy. And, you know, it's a program that 82% of the kids who go through that program are reading at the grade level. So I feel like every kid should have that advantage. And to succeed, you need some type of advantage. You know, it's a world that's definitely full with, you know, the media, you know, TVs and stuff. Nobody actually sits down and takes time to read. And I feel like reading is just, it opens your mind and your life to a whole new world when you can't travel.
How much did you realize that when you were a substitute teacher during, was that the lockout?
Yes.
What did you teach?
Oh, I taught everything. I taught everything from basic geography in first grade to, you know, calculus and for seniors. So I feel like me being a substitute teacher and, you know, during my tenure here, I've done a lot of volunteer work at schools, whereas reading or playing with children, I have seen firsthand, you know, the disadvantages some of these schools have as far as, you know, reading and accessibility to books. And I feel like with that background, it tied in into me, you know, and it touched deep because I love kids. You know, I love reading and I love giving back in some shape. And I feel like this organization was the best route to make a huge difference.
Were you able to do that because of your unique education at the University of Notre Dame that makes you a cut above?
You know, I'm proud of the university. I am. But you know, I'm not going to say anything, you know, about the school. But
we know the word nomenclature.
There you go, Vic. No, but I think it is my passion grew from, you know, the experience that I learned and had as a substitute teacher. And the fact that also I have a 9-year-old son and I know the importance of reading and I read with him when he was younger and me and him compete on how many books we can read throughout a year. You know, I feel like that fuels my passion. And, of course, I'm losing because his books are like 150 pages shorter and words about three times as big. But, you know, it's just something that's very dear to me and something that I've thoroughly enjoyed and gotten back into. And, you know, just feel like you can learn so much from books and you can carry that on throughout life.
How surprised were you when you're obviously getting into this and looked at the numbers of how many kids aren't at grade level and how many kids are, did that surprise you at all?
It honestly did. It surprised me a lot. You know, because back where I'm from, there's constantly blue ribbon, national blue ribbon schools. And, you know, you don't really hear about the struggles as a child growing up. And you get a taste of it throughout your career here when you go volunteer. But you never know how staggering that number actually is. You know, it's a huge problem, especially out here in Colorado with, you know, the graduation rate being so low and also the reading proficiency for kids K through third grade being so low. And it's pretty sad that it's like that, but you also got to understand there's those impoverished families that we can reach out to and help give books to eliminate the brain drain throughout the summer, or, you know, help bring books to a school so they can have something to read, you know, during downtime or whatever.
Football question for you.
Yeah.
Do you envision a bigger role or a different role going forward in the secondary with the changes Raheem leaving? Do you figure you're going to get more of a shot, more playing time, more snaps?
That's my goal. I feel as though I played extremely well when I had my opportunity last year, and I feel like I played well throughout training camp last year as well, and I plan to carry that on. I feel confident. You know, it's It's tough to feel confident when you don't have that opportunity throughout your last two or three seasons. And the fact that I was finally granted that opportunity and I had a chance to shine, I just feel like I'm going into these OTAs and training camp and the season with a huge amount of confidence. You know, feel like my chest is maybe a little bigger, not from Luke making us do push-ups all day, but, you know, I envision myself playing a lot more. I envision myself starting, you know, and that I'm dreaming big this season, especially contract year.
When they sign a safety and you hear lots of your teammates, maybe corners being moved to safety, you go with Raheem gone, does that fuel you even more to say, well, hey, what about me? I played pretty well.
You know, I've seen it all. I've seen it all, Brandon. You know, heck, my third year, we drafted two safeties. I could have swore I was out the door then, you know. And then every year we've moved the corner to safety, whether it's Omar or talks of Kayvon or Roby or whomever they're thinking about moving out there from corner to safety. I've seen it all. All I can do is keep my head down and keep plugging away. There's nothing really I can do about the coach's decisions as far as who's playing which position. I'm going to just play mine, and I'm going to play it the best I can, and hopefully they give me that opportunity when I show that I can play it as good or better than anybody else.
Even if you do play more safety, they're probably not going to take you off special teams. What have you seen different from DeCamillis? How do you think special teams will be noticeably different to the fans that are watching?
You know, we're going to be attacking. We're going to be downhill all the time, you know. And a lot more enthusiastic on special teams. You know, we're building that in the meeting rooms. You know, we'd make a big play last year, and there's like three or four guys celebrating. We're getting down to a point where everybody's echoing, like one band, one sound type deal, you know. We're all in it together. We know that, you know, he instilled this philosophy, tip of the spear. You know, every game, we're the first people out there, kickoff or kickoff return. So we set the tone the whole game. So that's what we want to do for our team. We set the tone and the team reverberates. Go ahead.
How important then with you as the special teams captain is it to set that example to lead the tip of the spear and get it and increase that enthusiasm?
Well, as the old man of the team, one of the old men, it's very important. It's a role that, you know, you take on as you get older, and especially since I've been in that role for so long. Special teams have really given the young guys their opportunity to play. It's their first crack at it. So I just try to bring them along, teach them things that I know, what I've seen. I've seen it all in special teams, you know, from short sets to double teams to crackbacks to getting smoked out in the back. It doesn't matter. I've seen it all. And, you know, just trying to teach those guys how to play smart, play fast. But overall, you know, it's just play free. You got to play free. You can't let anything hold you back. Be fearless.
Hey, when you were talking about earlier saying, you know, I thought a couple of those times when they brought in these guys, I thought I was out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think because of the way that you play special teams, that's kept you in and that's allowed you the opportunity then to go show what you can do on defense as well?
Oh, that's true. That's exactly what it is. You know, I remember the year that they did bring Raheem and Q in. I was on the outs. Jeff Rogers had talked to me before the Seattle preseason game and said, hey, you need to make a splash on special teams. It's between you or Bush or whatever for, you know, the final safety spot. And, you know, that fueled me up, and I go out there and block two punts that game, and that's what solidified me staying here that year and then propelled me to continue my career here. So it's definitely been very beneficial to play well on special teams and be consistent and be considered a difference maker on special teams. Go ahead.
We know you're kind of a hobby junkie. You put in a few miles on the road this offseason. What has that done in terms of your conditioning?
Well, my legs aren't sore. Yeah, I'm sure you can ask a lot of guys. Their legs are probably pretty sore. But, you know, road biking, cycling, it's a different form of conditioning for me. It's intense. I've enjoyed it a lot, though. You know, I've enjoyed – because I hate running. I might look like I love it. I hate running. So I find something else to do to try to get my conditioning up, and that was a great avenue. And, you know, I ended up getting my bike from Nick at Elevation Cycles, and he just made me fall in love with it, even though I die half the time on Flagstaff going up in Boulder or die on some of the long rides, I thoroughly enjoy it. It pushes me to my limit, my threshold.
What's the longest ride you did?
46 miles.
From where to where?
I feel like I went all over the country. We started in the Pinery in Parker, yeah. And then went through Elizabethtown, Castle Rock.
So hills, there's some hills there for sure.
Some. I feel like the whole dang ride was uphill. Yeah, and actually we had 15 more miles left on the ride, but the path we took went right by the house. Yeah. See you later, guys. I'm going to pull off right here. So, you know, I hit my max.
Speaking of conditioning, you mentioned Luke, and Ware mentioned him yesterday as Kubiak mentioning him in the talk. How important are these early days in getting those gains that you might not be able to get during the season because of wear and tear?
You know, it's Luke and his staff, they do a great job. They ease us in the right way. We, you know, our number of injuries as far as muscular tears went down tremendously since he's been here. We focus on a lot of functional stuff and, you know, a lot of things where we get certain areas of our body to fire that we're not necessarily accustomed to or we don't usually do when we go train. And, you know, people might think it's crazy that we don't go out there and run full sprints all the time, but we're just learning the basics. We just got into it. Guys took some time off. It's advantageous for us as players to go take each day one at a time and just go as slow as he wants to go. And when it comes time to fire, we'll fire. We're going to be in football shape. That's the shape we're going to be in. We're not going to be in, you know, Tour de France shape. I might be, but we're not going to be in Tour de France shape.
Have the coaches, defensive coaches, told you guys that, look, there's going to be open competitions for jobs, including at safety?
They haven't came out and said anything, but, you know, you hear the best guy's going to play. So I hope that's true. You know, I plan to just play the best I can and let the chips fall where they may.
Okay. Thank you, David.
Thank you.